stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my father, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. This is Friday, May 29, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us every Friday for a history lesson discussion is Pastor Rusty Chatfield. He always has something interesting to talk about, sometimes what he's teaching in the classroom. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Not this morning, but something that's caught my attention. This past week, there was this long documentary on the History Channel about Ulysses S. Grant, and written by the same. It was based on the book Grant, by the same guy that wrote the book about Alexander Hamilton, and it was good. I think it was real good. And when you talk about Ulysses S. Grant, who comes to mind is Robert E. Lee, and there has been a very long argument among historians and military historians of which was the better general. So there's the topic. Who is the better general, Robert E. Lee or Ulysses S. Grant? Now, they were different. They were different. Now, and they both fought together in the Mexican War in 1846. They were together in the Mexican War. Grant remembers Lee. Lee didn't quite remember Grant, maybe. It was a little foggy because by the time the end of the Civil War, Lee was 58 years old and Grant was 42. So, Lee had been in the military. They both went to West Point, and Lee was second in his class. The only guy to this day, as far as we know, they go through West Point and never get a demerit. I mean, he was the marble soldier, I think they called him. I mean, he was Mr. by the book, strict, liked by everybody, charismatic. He was the son of Light Horse, Harry Light Horse Lee, who fought in the Revolution. So he was significantly older than Grant. Grant, on the other hand, was and Lee was born into wealth. He was from Virginia. Now, while Lee did not believe in slavery, he did have some slaves, but he thought slavery was immoral, both a moral and political evil. He was against secession. He was against slavery, but he did fight for Virginia. When Virginia left the Union, he felt like that was his highest calling, was to stick with Virginia. Whereas Grant was born in Ohio, and was just a small-time farmer, loved horses, worked well with horses, but was kind of a failure in almost everything he did except in love and war. 10 years before he became president in 1868, he was working in his father-in-law's tannery as a clerk, and he had left the military and really didn't have any plans to go back until the Civil War started. And he felt compelled to go back. And it was just different. Grant was a plain man. Grant was not nearly as charismatic as Lee. Was not as, I don't know, about, should I say concerned about great uniforms and everything. But both were great generals. And it was, up until the last 20 years or so, kind of common thought among most Americans that Lee was a better general. But now, the more I read on this subject, the more now a lot of people are talking about that Grant was a better general. We'll talk about all this on the other side.
Sounds good. Interesting conversation. Civil War generals, Lee and Grant. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation, or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark Farner's American Band, the Dave Mead Band, and more special guests. Sing along to classic hits, enjoy a spectacular fireworks finale, and camp on-site for the full weekend. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under are free. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at LibertyMountainUSA.com and click on events. Come join us and bring your friends.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Who was the better general, Robert E. Lee or Ulysses S. Grant? Pastor Chatfield, I would say spoils go to the victor. I mean, it's clear and obvious. Grant is a much better general, and he beat his fellow West Point grad.
Okay, that is an argument. Hey, in the end, the Union was preserved. The North won the Civil War, and Grant did it. Yes, that is a legitimate argument. Let me just give you an illustration of something, though. Why isn't Lou Whitaker in the Hall of Fame? Baseball
Hall
of Fame.
Why is he not in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, why is he not? I'll tell you why. Because he didn't play for the New York Yankees. That's why. A lot of times, that's my two cents, and maybe the baseball fans can
Let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about it. Because Alan Trammell, his sidekick, they had basically came up through the minor league system together. They basically started playing about the same time. The longest playing duo up the middle, second base shortstop, I believe, in American League history. Their numbers are just unbelievable. Alan Trammell is in the Hall of Fame. Why isn't Lou Whitaker with him?
Because Trammell had a couple good years. He was MVP 84 and the World Series MVP. So that's on his resume. But when you look at the numbers of Whitaker compared to other second basemen that are in the Hall of Fame, you have to be on the right team.
But Lou Whitaker's numbers are better than some of those second basemen you just described. His numbers
blow theirs away. Yes, that's my point. You got to be on the winning team, or you got to be on the New York Yankees. Detroit Tigers, yeah, we had a good team, 84. We remember that, 35-5 start. And I'm just using that as an illustration. I hope Whitaker would be. But your first point was, Grant, in the end, forced the surrender of Robert E. Lee in Appomattox in April of 1865 at Appomattox. And so, therefore, you got to call it the way it is. He won, the victory goes to the winning general. He was the winning general. But my counterpoint is, that doesn't necessarily make you a better general, but possibly. And here's the deal. I have to admit this, you guys. I watch all these things, and I have no... I am no expert on this. I do read it, but I can't do it. I've been to virtually every battlefield of the Civil War east of the Mississippi. Almost every one. Every major one, for sure. Been to every major one. And some guys, and this was one of Robert E. Lee's great abilities, can look at the battle, where the battle is going to be fought, and he can imagine how he's going to move his men. Generally put, let me give you some positives on Robert E. Lee. He was a better tactician, better tactics. Robert E. Lee could look at a battle, where the battle was coming, and he could see the layout of the land, and he could know how he could use it to his advantage, and he could move men and move men around. The Battle of Chancellorsville in 1863, that's in Virginia. He divided his army, sent men around the backside of the Army of Northern, the Grand Old Army of the Republic, the Union Army. Anyway, moved him around, totally surprised him. Great victory at Chancellorsville. And there's another, he could see the, and he also had good under generals, in this case Stonewall Jackson, that he trusted, and he used them. Whereas maybe Grant wasn't as good a tactician as Lee, okay? Lee knew how to maneuver his men here and there, and they operated on some principles. He was just better at moving his men. Some would argue that he used his generals better. Now, you could make the counter-arguments because he had better generals. And that is what I grew up being taught. Basically this, that the Confederates, the Southerners, had better generals. And I even think Abraham Lincoln would have believed that. He couldn't find somebody to lead the army trying to capture Richmond and defeat Lee. He couldn't find anybody until finally he brought Grant from the West and put him in charge. Lincoln just says, I got to find somebody. And Grant had some major victories in the West at Shiloh, and a major victory at to capture the Mississippi River, Vicksburg, July 4th, 1863, a day after the end of the Battle of Gettysburg. And so with all those victories, he says, I'm going to bring this guy east. And so in general rule, I think it's most people would agree that the North had inferior generals, except maybe definitely Robert E. Lee and William Tecumseh Sherman. Those two for sure. And there were some others that were pretty good. And we have historian Civil War buffs are going to probably text you, say, well, what about so-and-so? Okay, maybe. Now, here's something else, too, concerning where Lee. The South only had to not lose the Civil War. You understand what I'm saying? They just had to keep fighting. They had to not lose. The Union, the North, had to force the South to surrender. The North had to win, whereas the South had to not lose. They could fight a defensive battle. That's what they could do that. And by and large, they did do that. They fought defensive battles. And I will point out the one exception to that rule was what happened at Gettysburg when Robert E. Lee got his dander up, and he, even though they had kind of fought to a draw there the first 2 days at Gettysburg, that last day, Pickett's charge, July 3rd, 1865, should never have been made. That was a mistake. You got to look at Lee and say, you should not have done that. But generally, the South fought a defensive, and Robert E. Lee was good at it.
Now, on that particular battle, that was Lee's charge. And what was his rationale? What was he thinking? Why did he do that charge?
Well, he thought they were weak there in the center, but they had to walk across like a mile and a half field. Maybe it was
wide
open field. And he thought that the Union army would break in the middle. Now, that's called Pickett's charge. Pickett lost almost his entire division. They call that the high watermark of the Confederacy. When a few men breached that stone wall there in Gettysburg and started to turn the cannons around to fire, never would the Confederacy be so close to victory. Of course, they weren't that close, because they just called up the more divisions from the back. The people that were in reserve, they just bringing them up, and they were there only briefly. And so that was a mistake, frankly, on Robert E. Lee's part. But Robert E. Lee, he he fought defensive battles, but he also was a great tactician and knew how to move men, and he thought he could do it. And to some measure, he and his men kind of thought that maybe they were inevitable. They were going to win this. A lot of the people in the South, the Confederacy, they called this the Second War for Independence. They thought that they were just like, you know, Patrick Henry, and this is it. We're fighting for freedom. We're fighting for states' rights and self-determination and freedom. Property rights. Unfortunately, in their thinking, property rights would include slaves. And so, but they were believers in their cause and were fought bravely. But, you know, here's Grant said he hated to see any army defeated like that. And he said that concerning the Confederacy, he says, you know, and for a cause they had fought so bravely. He acknowledged that. But he said, I can't ever imagine a war being fought for worse purposes. Because in the end, I know this is a big argument, Matt Walsh will argue this, in the end, the war was about slavery. That's part of my issue here with Matt Walsh. And I don't know if you've noticed this, the Daily Caller's coming with all these things. Learn the real history of the Civil War. The Civil War was about states' rights. Well, in a way, that was the political argument. The constitutional argument in the end is can a state secede from the Union? Now, I would argue no. There's no provision in the Constitution which allows a state to leave the Union. But others would argue, whoa, when the United States was first formed, states put in there, we're joining the Union, and if we ever want to leave it, we'll leave it. Yes, they did. A lot of states did that. However, that said, they never It was never put in the Constitution, and it didn't tell the president what to do if there was a great rebellion, except that he's supposed to put it down, and he was going to enforce the laws, which President Lincoln did. I'm digressing here. But so let me talk for briefly here about some of the advantages of Grant. While Lee was a great tactician, Grant was a great strategist. He was able to see the big picture of the war, the general view of the war, and a lot of instances of that. Grant could see, you know what, it's not going to be enough just to win battles. We must defeat the South and see the uselessness of their cause and making war so painful that they will surrender. That's why after William Tecumseh Sherman captured Atlanta, the 1st of September in 1864, says you're going to have a march to the sea, and you're going to just have to take away, and you're going to march through South Carolina and Georgia, then South Carolina, and you're going to take away the South's will to fight. You're going to have to burn things. You're just going to have to win this war. It is the way it is. People say, well, that's no way to fight a war. That's the only way. If you're going to win the war, that's what you had to do. And Grant and Sherman could see it. Grant, and if you read his letters to Sherman and Lincoln, they understood also the political calculations here. We have to take Atlanta soon, because if Sherman doesn't take Atlanta in September of 64, in all probability, Lincoln loses the election in November of 1864. George McClellan wins, and he'd already won with the idea, we're going to make peace. This war has gone on long enough. But after Atlanta fell, then everybody in the North, or the majority of people in the North, said, let's finish it out. Finally, we got captured Atlanta. We're moving on. Petersburg and Richmond, Virginia, we're going to win the war. Let's finish the task. And Grant saw that. He saw the big picture of the whole thing. There's lots of I've read this numerous places that Jefferson Davis kept asking Robert E. Lee, hey, we need some of your men to move south or west and help us. We're getting whipped out there. And Lee wouldn't go along with it. Lee was concerned about the Army of Northern Virginia, his army, and winning his battles. He didn't see he didn't see the big picture. And so the West and the South were defeated. The West and South of the Confederacy were defeated before Lee's army was defeated. He didn't see the big picture as well, evidently. I think that's true. I do think that's true. Plus, Grant was good at logistics and moving men and supplies and getting his men well supplied. Now, granted, he had the North and all the resources of the North, but he understood that. He was good at that, whereas Lee wasn't. On the other side, well, the South didn't have as much. They did not have as much. But Lee was more locally centered, and he wanted only for his men, and he was not able to get the supplies that he would have needed. Something else about Grant.
Had he gotten those supplies, could have probably changed the direction of a few of those battles. Yes. Who knows what would happen potentially in the end. Yeah.
Exactly. Potentially.
Yep. Going to take a short break. Bottom of the hour news of hour number two here on this Friday. Pastor Chatfield, I'm Chuck Randy. We're your defending fathers. We'll be right back.